Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, listen. Once again, God bless all of you who are in class early. I even like it when it's me. So, could I get volunteers? Would you pass these out on this side? Dan, would you pass them out on the other side? What you're receiving this morning is a list of references that are found in the New Testament concerning the Holy Spirit. And for the remainder of what we talk about, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, for the most part, these will be the verse references that we refer to. There's something else that you're going to get later in the day. I ran a little bit out of time of making all the copies, but here is a copy of something that is a list of miracles. This is going to be about 4 pages long, and it's printed on both sides. And what it is a list of all of the miracles in the Bible and where they're found. Okay, and I've got a special assignment with this. Before, when we come down to the point where we're talking about evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person, what we're going to talk about are miracles that they performed, about things that they did that a person could not do. Parting the sea, raising the dead, things that people simply cannot do, but they did them, and they did them because the Holy Spirit was in them. So here is my assignment about this, before we get to evidence, is please read all of the examples of miracles that are in the Bible. There's 110 of them that happened before Jesus came. There's something like 40 that were recorded during the lifetime of Jesus. And then there's another, and I forget how many it is, but it'll say at the top that it'll talk about how many miracles there were. And if you find a miracle in the Bible that is missing from the list, my request is, please tell me. So all you have to do to find all these miracles is start at Genesis 1:1, read to the end of Revelation, write down every miracle. If I missed one, please tell me. Okay, so what's going to happen with these is I'll make copies. There's going to be about 4 pages worth of this. And the pages are numbered at the bottom so you can see if you've got all the pages or not. They'll be on the table out back after services today. So here is this. And if you did not receive a copy of the text of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, this also will be on the table out back. Okay.
Herbert Locklear has a series of books called All the Fill in the Blank in the Bible. And I believe he does have all the miracles in the Bible in one of his books.
Do any of us have a copy of that?
I may have a copy, I'll check.
Okay. Okay, so you guys may have a head start on finding it. Actually, if you start at the front of the Bible and you work your way to the back of the Bible and look at all of the miracles, you may find some he missed. Okay. So with that, let's begin. This is, we talked on Wednesday, or I say we talked, I provided some references and somebody late in the program bailed me out because I was pretty sick on Wednesday night. I went home and passed out. But you talked about something that's pretty important from the Old Testament, didn't you? Anybody tell me what you learned on Wednesday? Raise your hand, I'll come stand close to you so the microphone picks it up. Oh, okay. What did you learn on Wednesday?
One of the prophecies, or the promises of the Holy Spirit coming.
The promises of the Holy Spirit coming. That's good. And what kind of things did you learn? I know, Robitussin DM, so...
Nope, it's just not coming.
Oh, okay, right. So anybody else? What kind of things did you learn about the promise of the Holy Spirit who would come? When was the promise given?
Earlier than we thought, a lot more places than we thought.
A lot earlier and a lot more places than you thought. Okay, were these promises given in the best of times for Israel?
Almost never.
They were given in the worst times. In the times when Israel was down in the pit, this promise was made that encouraged them and said, you know, something wonderful is going to happen to all of you. Yes, David?
One example I remember is the
that's the way Israel's going to be. That even though they were in, had been in captivity, he's going to, and they're crying out how dry they were, he's going to bring them back and put his spirit on them. So.
Do you know the song, Them Bones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, we ought to sing that sometime if we really know it. So it's the song about the dry bones being brought back to life to fight the battles of God. When people thought they had given up, that they couldn't go any further, that God was going to give them, by the Spirit, a revival that would cause them to prevail against God's enemies. Okay, so there was this wonderful promise. Is there a passage that comes to mind when you think about the promise? Remember when he said, I will pour... What?
I wasn't here Wednesday, but certainly Joel chapter 2... Which says that the Spirit would come be placed upon both men and women, all people.
Yeah, and I think this is the passage. Do you have that open, Dan? I will pour out my spirit, right? And your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will prophesy, right? So it's talking about this great pouring out. Well, today, that is the setup for what we're going to talk about today. That actually happened. It happened in the days immediately preceding the coming of Christ. This pouring out of the Spirit was not just on the... Because a lot of time in the church, when we talk about pouring out of the Spirit, somebody starts flipping over to where Acts chapter 2 and Day of Pentecost. Well, that's not where this pouring of the Spirit started. It happened before that. And we're going to see a lot of evidence of that through the New Testament writing, especially in the Gospels. Today, what we're going to do, that I gave out to people slips of paper that had Bible texts on them. Most of them are from Luke. There's a few other places that are listed, but if you've got that, if you turn your Bible to where your text is, what we're going to do, I can tell you the story about the Spirit being poured out in these times, but to tell you the truth, Luke did a really good job. There are some places where we might read one of the other passages, because many of these events, for example, the baptism of Jesus, where the Father spoke, the Spirit came down as a dove, that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, so it's in all of them. Many of these events that you see recorded in Luke are also recorded in Matthew and in Mark. So what we're going to do is, we're just going to look at the narrative of what happened with the Spirit. And this began before Jesus was born. There were many things that happened that set the circumstances up. The age, the golden age of Greece, which was prophesied by Daniel, right? That they was going to bring the world together. The peace of the Roman Empire and the dominance of the Roman Empire was set up before Jesus came. And there were people who were gifted by the Holy Spirit and made promises, things like, you're going to see the Messiah before you die. You're going to be the mother of the Messiah. You're going to be the mother of a prophet. That there were blessings that were given to people. So as we go through this, look for the words Spirit and Holy Spirit. And when you see Spirit or Holy Spirit, repeat the word so everybody puts it in their mind of, wait a second, this is the place where it said the Holy Spirit did this, or the Holy Spirit was going to do this. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to start way back in the beginning, and we're going to start with a guy named Zacharias, who was a priest, and we're going to end with Jesus addressing his disciples before he ascended back to heaven, which is a holiday in a lot of places. Maybe we'll celebrate it here this year. Okay, so here's what I would like to do. Let's begin in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. So who has that one? Hold up your hand, I'll come back and stand by you. Let me get to you, Dan. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. Go ahead, just read, we'll pick up.
In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people."
Okay, so where did it say that this child named John would be filled with the Holy Spirit?
In the womb.
From the womb. Okay, so let's read on about these events. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Who has this?
Okay. "In his son, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How would this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with the Lord or with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her."
In verse 35, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." This is how this will happen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, who has this? Matthew 1:18. Hold up your hand if you would. Okay. Let me get up here to you.
"Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit."
By the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. Okay.
"Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.
Okay, so I'm not sure if this means that John was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time, or if he already was and recognized the Spirit because of Mary, but there was definitely a connection in the womb with John and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's continue on. We're going to skip down to verse 57. Who has that? Okay, Blake?
When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, No, he is to be called John. They said to her, There is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, His name is John. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loose. And he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, What then is the child going to be? For the Lord's hand is with him.
Okay, so this does not say Holy Spirit, but what does it say? Certainly the hand of the Lord is with him. Okay, beginning in verse 67. Who has? Let me come back to you, Sherry. We're going to read verses 67 through 80 of Luke chapter 1.
And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation, by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from our high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel.
And repeating in verse 67, And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. So John, from birth, had a mission. So then we begin back to Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. And we're going to look 19 through 25. Who has that? Okay.
Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no reason for her to give birth to a son. He gave him the name Jesus.
Okay, so we're going to flip back in a second to Luke chapter 2. Who's got Luke chapter 2, verse 1? Okay, I'm going to come up and stand by you. Now there's a little bit of a contradiction, isn't there? It says, what did the prophet say his name would be called?
Emmanuel.
Okay, and what did they name him? Well, no, that's kind of strange. Why didn't they name him Emmanuel? Because it's a girl's name? What does Emmanuel mean?
God with us.
What does Jesus mean? It's actually, in Hebrew, it would be a different word, right?
Yep.
It would be
Joshua.
Joshua, okay. So his name in Hebrew would have been Joshua, the equivalent of Greek. Jesus, what does Joshua mean? The Lord saves. So salvation of God. Okay. So, in a way, the names are different in what they're spelled, but they both mean the same thing. God with us, salvation of God. So, he did have the same name. Okay, so we're going to pick back up the story, the narrative, in Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7.
Now, it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken of both Quirinius, was the governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone in his own city.
Pause for a second. Now, this sets a time, doesn't it? Is there anything special about Augustus Caesar? Anybody remember your Roman history? Was there anything really special about Augustus Caesar? Anybody got a birthday in August?
Yeah.
You do?
Anniversary.
Anniversary in August?
He had to have a month named after him,
because there was already a month named after the guy that came before him, July, named after Julius. This guy was a big, important guy. Do you know Augustus Caesar is somebody that very carefully they determined when it was that he was ruling? If you wrote down that he was born under the reign of Augustus Caesar, and when this guy was the governor of Syria, that very definitely nailed down a specific time in history when he was born. It was not some specific thing, not some general thing of, yeah, he was born a long time ago. This is a point in time that was well defined by everybody. Augustus Caesar was the first emperor of the Roman Empire. So this is a very important day. When did Daniel say the Lord would come? In the days of that last empire, which we believe to be Rome. So he came at a specific time when he was appointed to come. Not just some guy showed up and said, oh yeah, I'll fulfill all of these prophecies and everything fits. This was prophesied, this was promised long before exactly when it would happen. It happened exactly as was being promised. It happened with the Holy Spirit. So let's pick up again in verse 4.
4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Okay, is there anything special about the city of Bethlehem?
City of David.
The city of David? Anything else prophesied about that city? The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Only problem was, is Mary and Joseph didn't live in Bethlehem, did they? Who intervened to force them to go to Bethlehem at a time when they did not want any... Any ladies want to talk about traveling when you're late in your pregnancy and it's about time to give birth?
On a donkey.
Riding on a donkey?
Probably walking.
Yeah, walking. I'm liking to fly.
Okay. I mean, this isn't something that you just do. The emperor of the Roman Empire ordered that this was going to happen, which forced them to go to a place that they would not have otherwise been. And it was a most inconvenient birth. So there they were in Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophecy when they didn't want to do it that way, I'm sure. So, we're going to pick up in verse 8. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests."
Okay, and the story continues. Who has verse 15? Okay, Carl, let me get to you. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20.
When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them.
Okay, so he has been born, and he's had a special visit from shepherds who were given a message from an angel. Who has Luke chapter 2, verse beginning of verse 21? David, okay? David, we're going to break this up into about three pieces, okay? So would you read verses 21 through 24 first, and then we'll pause.
"And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons."
Okay, so this sets up the occasion for him to be at the temple. When he gets to the temple, there are going to be two people waiting for him that have been given a special promise by the Holy Spirit. That they have been filled with the Holy Spirit, given a mission, and they are standing at the temple waiting for him to be presented. And now comes the moment of him being presented. The first is a man named Simon. Will you read about Simon, David?
"And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'"
Okay, and read down through verse 35.
"And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from your many hearts may be revealed.'"
Okay, so here are many revelations that Simon sees Jesus and says this is the one. He makes prophecy specifically to Mary about something that she would understand later, standing on top of a hill at the foot of a cross. Yep. And then there's another person waiting for him there. This is beginning in verse 36 and reading down through verse 38.
"And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem."
Okay, so how many people have testified as to who Jesus would be so far? Zacharias make a testimony?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did the angels make a testimony? Did the prophets have predicted where he would be born and by what lineage he'd be born? Did they make a prophecy?
Yep.
And did Anna make? And did Simon make a prophecy?
Yep.
And did Anna?
Yep.
Okay, so several people have said, this is the one, this is the guy. So now we pick up that there's going to be some more testimony about him. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Who has that passage? Okay.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Okay. So, you know, you could imagine every Jewish mother hoping that her child would be the Messiah. Can you imagine that? Any of you look at your child when your child was born and think, this child is going to be a great child when they grow up? Okay, mothers, it's acceptable to admit this, right? You could believe that Mary, and in fact, every descendant of David who was a woman might have looked at her child and said, could this be the one, and hoping he could have been the one. That's pretty believable. If you were a prophet, even if you were absolutely deluded, if you were an old guy that all you did is went down to the temple every day and you didn't have anything else to do, and you knew that there was going to be a Messiah, you know, it might be reasonable to think that somebody like that might delude themselves and tell everybody, the Lord said to me, I'm going to see the Messiah. If you were a prophetess whose husband had died when you were young, like Anna, that it's possible somebody might delude themselves. What was special about these Magi?
They were foreigners.
They were foreigners. Now, there was a blessing that said that Jesus was going to bless the foreigners, the Gentiles, right? So, about how far do we think they were?
Let's see. Babylon, probably 600 miles.
Yeah, a long way. John, would you catch those doors when you come in? It was a long way. Do you ever think of somebody that it's like, that? Yeah, there's people that live there, but it's so far away you just don't think about it?
It's hard to comprehend that today in the age of transportation and communication that we have. We have soldiers in Babylon that can talk to us like that over the internet today. But these people, there wasn't newspapers, there was, you know, communication was by caravans, by camel trains. News from one place to another didn't get there immediately.
If I told you today that there were some people back east that had some really strange ideas, who would you think about?
Politicians.
Or is somebody that would be close and familiar to you?
Not really.
Not really. So if when they express these people about being from the east, and I'm not picking on the east anymore, from the north or the south or the west, that when you think of somebody that you describe them as from the east kind of means of wherever the boundary of civilization is, they're from east of there, right? Okay. okay, to what you know. So these guys had been given special dispensation from God. They had seen a star, that somehow they had known what it meant. And that's, they came to the Jerusalem and they asked, where's the king? They said, we don't know. He ought to be in Bethlehem. They picked up following the star. Where did that star stop? Right over Jesus. Same guy that Zechariah had said that his son John would be the prophet to tell everybody who it was. The same guy that Mary had been told he would be the son of God by the Holy Spirit. That Joseph had been told this. That Simon and Anna had all told. And the prophet said where he was going to be born. So all of these coincidences are coming together in a really powerful way. So let's pick the story back up again. There's another prophecy about Jesus. Where was he going to come from? He was going to come from Egypt, not Bethlehem. Okay, that's not what you think. So Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Who has that? Let me come back to you, Al. And they got a problem. Herod wants to kill him. Matthew 2, verses 13 through 15.
When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son.
Okay, so another prophecy being fulfilled. And what would have happened to him if he'd stayed there in Judea? What happened to baby boys born about that time in Judea? They were all killed. So let's pick the story back up in Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Who has that? Raise your hand, I will come to you. Okay, John? So this again is going to tell us a year, and it's going to tell us a very specific time that we would be able to define the day that this happened.
As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet.
So wait. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 9?
3, what was it again?
Luke 3, verses 1 through 9. Oh, wait a second. Does somebody else have that one? Okay. Let me come to you. Okay.
Amen. In the 15th year of the reign of the Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, got Iturea and Trachonitis and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowd coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children from Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire.
Okay, so this is a metaphor that they're going to hear again in other ways. We're going to pick up in verse 21. Who has verse 21? Okay, let me get back to you. So he's been preaching, people have been coming to him, everybody knew about John, even people that you might not think would want to know about him. verses 21 and 22.
When all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
Who? So this is a pretty intense moment, is it? And it's one that's written, again, in all four of the Gospels, including John chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. So here is the Father speaking, and the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove so that he sees him. The passage in John chapter 1, somebody that's not reading, would you turn over to John chapter 1, verse 29? Hold up your hand, I'll come back to you. Let's just read the same passage in that place. So, Sharon?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world."
Read down until you cover where the Spirit comes down.
"This is he on behalf of whom I said, any kind of man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me, and I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water, and John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven."
Okay, so there's a couple of things here. John specifically acknowledges that he saw that. Who conceived first, Elizabeth or Mary? Elizabeth. And what did John say about Christ? He said he existed before me. Ooh, well, there's an interesting thought. Okay, so we're going to pick back up in Luke chapter 4. And now, after this has happened, we're going to see what happens to Jesus as he has been filled completely with the Holy Spirit. Who has this passage? Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Okay.
"Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours.' Jesus answered him, 'It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time."
Okay, in verse 1, who led Jesus to face this temptation? The Spirit. Okay. Then in verse 14, who has verse 14? Carol, let me come back to you.
"Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogue, and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were speaking well of him, and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. They were saying, is this not Joseph's son?
Okay, so they're wondering, and it says that the prophecy is that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and when he closed it, what did he say in verse 21? Today?
The Spirit has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Yeah, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So this is the coming of the Spirit. Now, we're going to skip a couple of these because I need to make sure we get to Acts, but Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 through 21, who has that? Okay. Would you read just verse 18? This is a prophecy.
Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations.
Okay, so this again is a prophecy that he would proclaim justice to the nations of the Gentile. Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 29, and this is talking about the casting out of demons. Who has this? Okay, and would you read just verse 28?
But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you.
Okay, so he's talking about how is he casting this demon out? How did he claim he was doing it? By the Spirit of God. Okay. John 3:34. Who has this one?
Okay. He whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure.
Okay, so Spirit without measure. Luke chapter 10, verse 21 through 22. Who has this one?
At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.
Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Okay, this is something that goes back to Psalm 41:9, and it's the fulfillment of prophecy. They're recalling this, yes? Okay, and Psalm 41:9 has that. Ward, would you read that for us? This was the prophecy that was made in Psalm.
Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me.
Okay, how did Jesus say you'd know who it was that was going to betray him? It's the one who dips the bread with me, the morsel, he said. And then we come to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Who has this one? Okay, let me come back to you.
I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after this suffering he showed himself to these men and gave many convicting proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Okay, so this sets up the circumstances just before he left, what was going to happen and what he told them to do. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to pick up on Wednesday. I wanted to talk about the teachings of Jesus about the Holy Spirit, but you know, there's really, I think, only two. That he promised the Holy Spirit, he showed the Holy Spirit, but he only taught two things about the Holy Spirit. One we're going to talk about when we come down to special topics, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But this is the thing that he taught about the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. This is a really important teaching. It's found in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. John promised that he baptized people with water, but Jesus was going to baptize them with what? The water and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless we are born of both water, which means baptism, and born of the Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that's why this is such an important story. Thanks for your kind attention today. The Bible tells a story better than I could have, so that's why we use that. We're going to pick up with the day of Pentecost on Wednesday. We'll see you then.